We have been given the scientific knowledge, the technical ability, and the materials to pursue the exploration of the universe. To ignore these great resources would be a corruption of a God-given ability.
10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, all engine running.
Gaietto's coming in.
TH Rest, coming out of Italy.
3-star, a hearty reward for the Italian squad.
And another 3-star coming in here for GH Rest from Joker. Beautiful attack. And this is another 3-star coming in from GH Rest.
And any doubts about Rest from that first hit have been dispelled. 3 triples in a row.
Top Gun Rocket Loon barreling in at Mach 5. Strikes at the final remaining Tesla and gives Milanello that 3-stop guaranteed victory for the Italians and advancement in the upper bracket.
We did ask the community's predictions. Look at this, Woody. 64% voting for Unicorns of Love, despite the incredible performance we just seen from GH Rest.
I think I'm a little bit surprised, but maybe not in the direction that you're expecting. I would have actually expected Unicorns of Love to have gotten maybe even more percentage on there. They're asking who they think is going to win the war, and I got to say, the cast of prediction from this side is definitely on the Unicorns of Love.
Yeah, well, I agree. Maybe I thought people might have seen GH Rest and gone with them, but I agree with you, Woody. I think Unicorns of Love, being the number one seed, are going to get this one done. Beautiful stuff kicking it off for GH Rest.
Yeah, kicking it off and stomping down the Unicorns of Love. Whoa there. Great job by Trattino.
3 stars keeping the pressure on. That's exactly what GH Rest need to do. They might not have got the community vote on this one, but they continue the way they have been in this monthly qualifier. They are looking very strong.
Well, look, you and I both were leaning heavily on the side of the Unicorns of Love during our pre-match predictions, but I gotta say, I'm starting to feel pretty jazzed about Rift. Congrats to Joker there. A standing ovation certainly well-deserved for this Italian team, which is now perfect, and Milanello gets the win for Rift!
Really amazing to see teams like Rest get in there and doing so well in it too. I was very proud of them. I actually covered some of their matches for the pre-qualifier.
Rest was the biggest surprise for me. Yayeto, when I first started streaming, like it was me and Yayeto winning a team, and Yayeto is sort of more in the background of things now. Like having just seeing Rest doing so well is just, I don't know, I thought that was awesome.
I think we better be quiet.
Right. 400 feet down at 9.
Okay, the only call outs from now on will be fuel.
Stay forward. Contact light. Okay, engine stop. APA at a descent.
Auto
Mode control both auto. Descent engine command override off. Engine arm off. 413 is in.
We may have shut down.
We copy you down, Eagle.
Okay, everybody, T1, stand by for T1.
Tranquility Base here.
Gaietto
has landed.
It's August 8th, 2021, and welcome to the fourth episode. Is it the fourth? It's the fifth. The fifth episode of Married to Clash. You're starting off strong. I am Queen JJB, and I'm joined by my other half, Brew.
Hello.
And Miss P.
Hi.
BTG will be joining us shortly. We are live again and super excited to welcome Yayeto. Welcome, Yayeto.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. So Yayeto is a Clash of Clans esports player and team manager for Radicon, Yayeto?
Yeah. Radicon. Yep.
Radicon? Okay. And specifically GH Rest, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So we're really excited to hear about that world. I don't know, honestly, a lot about it.
I know nothing.
Well, wait. Brew knows a little bit. That's a lie, because we spent like the last hour watching videos on YouTube of GH Rest.
So, yes.
that we at least have an idea of what's going on. But I am excited to hear about it because it is a world that I don't know a ton about. So we'll get more information about that after we go through our normal agenda and other items that we talk about. So again, this is another live show. Thank you for joining us to the audience members. We love having people listen in, and we will definitely be pulling people up for live questions later. Hopefully it goes a little better than the last time. We had quite the challenge last time, so hopefully it goes a little better. So we're going to keep our segments a little bit smaller this week because we have a ton of questions for Yeyeto. So get ready, Yeyeto. So we're going to talk about event updates, CFF news, and then obviously work through the guest interview. We are going to keep our useless information because I think it is everyone's favorite that's a host. So yes, we're going to keep that going. We are going to still do shout outs that we normally do. So for event updates, Miss T, do you want to take it? I know about the summer scrim, but if you want to take it, you're more than welcome.
Well, you can talk about the summer scrim, but for sure, we definitely have an event coming up. Plans are going to be posted tomorrow. I just have to get all of the rest of the details, but it is a Trojan War. So we're going to do a friendly war against, probably a random war against just whoever we match, but we're going to only attack in the last hour of war. Everyone is at the same time. So it's going to be fun. Mm. Yeah.
That should be fun.
Yes.
Yeyeto's team does that all the time, right? It's like always an hour war, right?
I mean it.
He's used to that.
Okay, so yeah, that'll be fun. I'm excited to hear about that. We also are currently doing a TH14 summer scrim that's being run by Got Band. We are currently in week 5. It's a 5v5 format, all 14s. And we Ultimate Heroes were on a bye in week 4, so we're currently 2-2. And shout out to Kat's team. I see her in the audience. They we had a great war against them a couple weeks ago. Actually took me back to my league days. We got on voice and planned and Friday night and, you know, all that fun stuff. So it was fun to do. It's been a great league. I've enjoyed it. It's super chill and I love my guys, so that makes it easy. But you know, I've really enjoyed the whole thing. I think the last I saw, I forget the team name, but it's Big D's team that is in first place, and I'm going to grab it really quick just so we can shout them out.
Yeah.
So as of week 4, Knights of Zion were in first with a 4-0 record. They are undefeated.
Good for them.
Yeah, really, really solid team. We played them in week 3. And it was a great war. We got close, but no cigar. Carl's Rejects was in second place. They're 2-2. We were in third. Ultimate Heroes at 2-2. Cat's team, Yak on My Unicorn, is 2-2 as well. Jericho Rising, which is Catfish's team, is 2-2. Filthy Tryhards, which is Carl's team, is 2-1. Old Kids on the Block, run by Yager, is 2-1. And then Hive and Eden's Edge are the last two teams in the league, and they're 0-3. So hopefully they get some wins on the board soon. We're playing Kratos' team. I think that's how you say it. Kratos? Not sure how you say that. Coming up this week. So I'm hoping this week isn't their win, but I hope that they get one at some point. So, but it has been fun. It's a one hit format. I've enjoyed that. So, and then we also had the TH9 Forever tournament. Miss P, were you in that?
Oh, I was in that. I had to go against Tony and he totally crushed me. I think my healers got picked off or something like that. I mean, I haven't played on my Town Hall 9 in what, 3 years?
Oh, wow. You threw some hogs at Tony and kick his butt.
I threw hog. I did a queen walk mass hog, and it totally, like, it was terrible.
He's in the audience, like.
Oh yeah, we went at the same time. It was like, okay, so we counted it down: 3, 2, 1, go. I got done first, so I got to see. It was like a builder bot based challenge. I got done first, and I was like, ah! He won. GG's. But OU, like, he pulled it out, man.
Nice. Yeah, so that was a no zap, no witch, TH9CC, only one hit format, and OU was the champ. So he's a hero. Shout out to OU.
Yeah. It was a really fun event to be in.
Yeah, that's awesome. Super excited to see that. So it sounds like we have the Trojan War, and then, you know, the end of the summer, beginning of the school year is always a tough time to have events. So I'm sure we'll start seeing some pickup after
school year. Yes.
Yeah. This is a super hard time in class, especially for the casual clans. You know, just keeping activity high is tough right now. And I know I'm going on vacation for a couple of weeks, so I'm sure my activity will be low as well. Alrighty. So those are our event updates. CFF news, Jen, do you have anything? I don't think, other than this podcast, I haven't seen too much come out lately.
Yeah, especially like the events and stuff.
Yeah. Pineapples and Thorns put out another pod with Halligan, Rancid, and Loblo.
Oh, wasn't that such a great listen? I love listening to those guys.
Yeah. I will be flat out honest. I haven't listened to it yet. I'm kind of, I'm saving it for our trip out to the shore.
We haven't listened to our live pod yet.
We still have to listen to the live podcast, too.
Oh, goodness gracious, what am I going to do with you two?
I do yard work, and I listen to it while I do yard work. There are reasons I have hostas and a guy who mows my lawn.
Hey, I had to just put my hostas in so that I can one day not have to do it.
UTG is here. Welcome, UTG.
I'm here. Are we recording?
We are. It was a little bit of a challenge to get Craig Bot to join us, but we got there.
It's because you weren't here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I have
it. First question, BTG.
Uh-oh.
You have a beer?
I do.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Goose Island IPA.
Bruce got Warwick Brewing again.
I had a pineapple wit the other day. Oh, that was good.
I might like that.
I just have water today. So.
Water. That's what
yes,
I have.
Water.
Water.
Alrighty. So let's get into the thick of it, because I think this is going to take us a little bit, because I have lots of questions.
Yep. And so don't even start with that, Ben.
I have lots of questions. Jen has literally like 3 pages of Discord questions for you, Yeto. I don't think we're going to get to that much.
But... Yeah, I don't think we will either.
And then we have questions from the, you know, the community that was put out there. So we're going to start with the community questions, but let's do baseline first. So can you give us your Clash history, how you got into Clash, you know, your journey to where you are today? And then we'll have follow-up or questions along the line, I'm sure. So
that's good. So I started in about February 2013 because I was looking for pretty much a game to play in my spare time after my classes were done. So yeah, I've been playing for about 2 years casually with my mates. And then after that, I decided to have a break because the game got a bit boring. It wasn't as competitive as I thought initially. And then what got me back was, I think it was one of the Powerbank videos when he was still making Clash of Clans videos back then. And the video that I watched was the one that he featured Brits on Tour. I don't know if you guys remember that video. It was a while ago. It was about,
I'm sorry, can you say the name again?
The video that he did was about featuring 3 clans. It was Powerbank.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he done like videos ages ago about Clash of Clans, and I think he's moved on to other games. I can't remember now.
He has, yeah.
That's what he got me back into competitive, I think around 2016, I'd say mid-2016, 2017. So I watched that video, and that's what sparked my competitive self. So yeah, I got back into that. I was at Town of 10 when I got back in 2017. I farmed a little bit, and then I joined Brits on Tour. And that's when I started my first leagues. And that's when I won my one of my first tournaments as well with DK and all of the people that I played with back then. And then after that, I moved on to a classic mixed breakdown leagues like MLCW, the American War League as well. I've done with KGH at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Some other leagues as well. I think I've pretty much played every single league that there is to play in this community nowadays.
That's great.
And then, yeah, so then after that, the Flash Worlds came about around 2018, I think it was announced, late 2018. That's where the tournament started, and I was looking for teams to play for. And then I think in 2019, I joined REST as a player first, with some competitions, and then I decided to be, they decided to make me a team manager, because apparently I was better at being a team manager than a player. I don't blame them. I suck nowadays, so that's my journey so far.
That's awesome. Yeah, I remember our AWL days. They were good times. I was looking back on some of that the other day. We still have our leadership server that we used to use outside of the server that all the league members used. And I was trying to look back and see if you're, I searched for your name. Your name was in there a few times. So it was cool to see like that, you know, our paths crossed in that journey. So it was fun.
Yeah. I still remember the Town on 8 stuff as well. And the recaps on it.
Yeah, that was people loved that league. I remember there was a lot of like hype going on about that Town Hall 8 league when it was out in our world. I don't know about the whole world of Clash, but in the CFF it was fun.
Certainly was fun, yeah. I remember that.
So it sounds like you were really looking to come back in and get competitive, right? You didn't want to just be a casual player.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So makes sense that you would transition into the esports, because that's really the echelon, right, of the sport now, of the game now, I guess you would say. So how did you find GH Rest and Rest, and why were they the right place for you? Did you look anywhere else? You know, what kind of tipped the point?
Yeah, so before joining Rest, I was playing for, I guess, other elite teams back then. I can't remember now the names. I think one of them was Croatian Army and some other teams. I think I played with One Hive maybe at some point. It was a very short spell. And then I had one of my contacts from Italy. I think he knew me through another competition that I played with him. And then he asked me to join. I think it was around May 2019. I think it was May 2019. Because there was maybe a potential to start making money as well as just playing competitive for the sake of playing competitive, I guess. So I was like, yeah, I pretty much was an instant yes. And that's how I started with GH Rest from then.
Awesome. Okay. And they are an Italian team, correct?
Yes. Yeah. GH Rest is pretty much all Italian. I mean, yeah, all Italian, and then so far.
Okay, and what does a team manager do? Like, what's your role in that group right now?
Basically, it's essentially what a rep does for, I guess, any other competition for any sort of league team. So I manage all the leagues essentially for the team. So that means probably making deciding on the roster. Deciding on the times for the matches and the scheduling, and make sure that the week it's not super packed for the guys, because it can be tough, especially with jobs and university and school and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. So there's a lot of coordination and a lot of multitasking to do.
He hurts cats. I used to do that job.
I was going to say, it sounds like a job for you, JJ.
Oh, no,
yeah,
no.
Right?
My cat herding days are over. I herd heroes, and that's it.
Yeah. That's essentially my job in a nutshell, I guess.
Okay, so you're the guy that DMs everybody, where are you? We're starting in half an hour. You need to be in clan.
Yeah, I'm the guy that will chase you to the last minute to be in the right place at the right time.
We need a sub, who's available, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And have plan Bs and Cs and Ds in case everything goes wrong.
I did too. So GCBC asked a question I'm going to ask that kind of, I think, is a good follow-up into this, which is, do you have to be an Italian national to play for Rest? And is this why you haven't called him up for your world squad?
As it stands, yes. Purely because everyone else is Italian and English is not really, a spoken language there. At least not fluently. It would be tough for any, I guess, non-Italian joining in and try and deal with the language barrier.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's really...
So I'll follow that up since we talked about languages, because he asked another follow-up question, which was, you know, he often wonders about, and I do too, the nomenclature in foreign languages. So, you know, when you're playing in English, if you're typing in English and talking Clash in English, we talk about Coco Loons and Blimps and Drag Bats and Town Halls. Do they use Italian names for those, or do they use kind of the Clash, nomenclature words for those?
Wow, that was a big word.
GCBC wrote that word. I stole it.
Oh. It's a good thing you didn't have any wine in you, or that wouldn't have come out. Go on. I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's good. That's a good question. So from the Italian point of view, a lot of English words, I guess, nowadays, are used in the common language, spoken language outside. Like in an Italian, if I can say a word, like Italianized, let's say that word.
No.
So basically, they'll take English words and just like manipulate into like an Italian sort of word and just mix them, breed them, and just use them in like an everyday life.
Okay.
They do the same with Clash as well. So you see common names like, you know, Coco Loons and Drag Bats and stuff like that being like universal, I guess, strat names for everything. But then there's also like, I don't know, other words that like mix Italian and English into like one word just to say, I don't know, a strat. For example, they don't say haste, but we say speed instead of haste.
Mm.
I don't know, I can't think of any other example. We say, instead of saying, we do say drug riders, for example, as well. It depends on the person as well, like how much exposure they had to English in their playing career. There's you know, factors like that as well.
Okay, so is it a golem or a golem?
I say golem.
Okay. How about Pekka or Pika? I've heard those being mixed too.
I never heard Pika before. Does anyone say Pika?
Oh, I've had somebody say Pika for me. To me.
That's like, a first to me.
It was time to take a Pika.
Yeah, there's no A there. There's not two E's. I didn't understand. I didn't even actually understand what they were talking about for a minute. I was like, the what?
Like, I don't know if you guys remember, like, years ago, that strat that was popular at 9, is it Go Wipe?
Yes.
Like, in Italy, no one says Go Wipe. It's like more like Go Weepe. Like, quite literally, like, every single letter read as it is.
Go Weepe.
That is officially what I shall call it now.
Yep.
Go Weepe. Yeah.
Go Weepe.
That's awesome. Okay, Jen, you want to grab some questions? We'll hit some of yours.
Yeah, so I want to kind of ask little things like technical support from Supercell. So do you play on a special server, or is it just a regular friendly war, and do they supply cameras or other equipment for you?
So pre-COVID, it was the case that if you made it to a qualifier, you would fly to Poland.
Oh, wow.
And then you play in the offline servers, in the place there where they play the competition.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll just be, I think it's just a friendly war, standard like 5 minutes prep, 40-minute war, 45-minute war that is nowadays. So yeah, that was pre-COVID, but then because COVID happened and now everything has to be remote online. So they don't have We don't play in any like special servers. It's still like on the actual game itself. Still like normal friendly war as well. Normal timings, normal everything as a normal competition. With the difference is that you'll have to join the official Clash of Clans server on Discord.
Oh.
And they'll get the admins on the same voice chats as the players to, I guess, check what they, I don't know what they talk about really. I don't know if they bring a translator in the chat as well to double check that everything being said is not, I guess, illegal, or I don't know what they'll check. And also regarding the equipment, you need, I think from what I've read in the documents, you needed like at least two cameras with a third optional camera if you had it.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is the Fairplay camera, which is the one you put on the side. I think I have a picture as well of one of our players set up. I can show you guys.
Yeah, if you want to throw, I think I have it. Is that the one that you sent to GCBC?
Yeah, that's the one. Okay. Yeah,
I can put it up so that people can see it in the chat.
Yeah, so yes, mm-hmm. We can see what I'm talking about. So the first camera, I think the Fairplay camera, which is on the side to the left side of the player, that checks the hands that are actually on the tablet or whichever device you're using to make sure that it's you attacking and you're not using any sort of, I guess, mods or whatever nowadays, ways to cheat. And then there is the second camera, which is a bit further behind, that's to check that it's actually you sitting in your chair on the sofa, wherever you're attacking from. And then you have a camera, third optional camera in front of you, which is the one that is for the live stream for the people to see while you're attacking. So that's gotcha. In terms of technical stuff. Supercell, I think they did mention that if you had to buy any sort of extra cameras, they will refund you. But I think in our case, we didn't need to.
Oh, okay.
But they did offer that, I think, somewhere.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering why he had so many things like facing him. So I'm glad you explained that. Like,
yes,
he's got two phones and the computer and the iPad. Like, wow.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that commercial of you guys. I don't know if it's running in your countries, but there's a commercial in the United States during the Olympics where there's a guy and he's like dating a girl and they go home to watch the Olympics and he goes into the kitchen to get like food and he comes out and she's got like the computer, three iPads, two TVs and like every sport on and he walks in and he's like, I love you. And it's like... I looked at the picture of, is it Milanello? Is that his name?
Yeah, okay. Nice Milanello, yes.
Milanello, and I was like, oh, that's like the girl with like the Olympics, mm-hmm. like a million devices. So good to know.
Yeah, that's well, cool.
And the way NBC had the Olympics this year, you had to have 50 million devices to keep up with
it. I know. Yeah. It wasn't exactly efficient. I think the time zone difference for us was hard too. So they had to kind of squeeze everything in the 3 hours that everybody watches, you know, mm-hmm. because they couldn't really show anything during the day because that's when they were all asleep over there. So it was just, it wasn't the most convenient. I think Paris will be a little better. Miss P, do you have another question?
I wonder about like prize money. Does it cover how much that you guys have spent on like gems and packs?
I'm not sure. I guess it depends on how much the team spends. Because the main expenses are, well, at least the biggest one is the bases that you need to get built. There's a lot of bases that you need to build on the week leading up to the qualifiers. We had about 4 or 5 builders building, I think, each, I don't know, 10 bases probably, something like that. At least
wow.
5 each.
Wow.
So yeah, and like we had players spending like 10 plus hours a day just testing every single one of them and then trash the ones that were not going to make the cut for the weekend. So that's the main expense, paying the builders. But then you have, I guess you have the gems as well and whichever packs that you needed to buy to make sure your base is maxed and give yourself the best chance possible at defending. Because nowadays defense is it's a luxury. With the meta, the way it's going.
Yeah.
In terms of prize money, Canada does cover, I think, how much you spend. For the qualifiers, the first spot gets $15,000, I think, if I remember correctly. The second spot gets $10,000. The third spot, which the one we finished at in July, we got, I think it was 8.7K. And then I think it was 6K, and then it was 5K each for the fifth and sixth spot.
I don't know if you can answer this, but where's that money come from?
Supercell.
That's me.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Every time I buy gems.
Right. I got it. Okay.
Pretty much.
Throwing that out there.
It's from the $1 million prize pool that Supercell puts every year. Each month is, 15 plus all the other numbers. That's each month's prize pool. And then at the end, it's the big bucks, the world championship itself, where the first spot gets 250,000, I think. It's quite a lot of money if you do win it all, or at least if you make it all the way to the world champs.
Yeah, that is a lot of money for playing a game.
Well, making it there is the hard bit. Once you're there, you can just relax and play.
Right. Yes.
So I'm going to follow it up with a question from, I always get this wrong, so I'm sorry, Fado or Fado, however you say the name.
I think it's Fado. Yeah.
Is it Fado? Okay.
I think so.
How much of your gem cost or a player's gem cost to quickly upgrade their heroes, pets, etc., is covered by sponsors, and how much does the player have to pay?
It very much depends on the sponsor and how much money they're willing to put into a team. So yeah, it varies greatly from team to team.
Gotcha.
Hmm.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Like I guess teams like the Tribe game in the space station, I'm sure they probably fund the upgrades very easily to every player. But then the smaller sponsors, they might not do that, and they're probably just gonna finance the bases and that's it. And then they leave the rest of the players.
Gotcha. Okay. So GCBC asked a question and you talked about defenses, so I'm gonna grab it real quick, and it's a long one, so bear with me. On the Mac report, Penta said that if after they got perfected by alternate attacks, they gambled and ran the exact same base in the next war. The opponents simply copied the AA strats and failed every one. Their conclusion was that there's no OP troops or strategies, just OP players. So is it easier to build a base to defend against an inform ATN? I don't know what that means. Or boom, Tish, a Death Star?
Yeah, that is a good question.
I'm glad he understood what that meant, because I have no idea what I just said.
Yeah, so there's different ways of approaching, let's say, a match in a league, in a tournament, or whichever competition your team is in. But for the esports team, because bases are not infinite, well, we wish they were infinite, and then you can get an infinite supply of bases every week and just run them, run different bases every competition. But that's not the case. So what a lot of teams do is they recycle bases, and depending on the opponents, they can gamble and run the same base with tweak traps against, let's say like a lower level opponent, because they'd probably be most likely using the same strats as, for example, alternate attacks. If they saw the stream or saw any recap videos, they are more inclined to repeat the same attacks. So you can bait them and you can get the defenses that way. Or if you know that you're facing a pro team, you can't really take that route because they will absolutely murder your bases. Because they know how bases are built and how to attack them. So with them, you have to be a bit more careful and study them before trying to bait them and then put them against them. So that's the two main approaches. It's either against a lower level team, and you can gamble, or playing against the professional ones and then just pray that you can defend.
pray. I like that. Just pray.
it's a lot of pain in the voice chats if you guys join the voice chats of pro teams.
Then it doesn't sound all that much different than regular. There's a lot of times that we, yeah, that sounds good. Let's just hope it works.
you'd be surprised. There's a lot of similarities, especially in defense.
Okay, so I'm going to grab, I don't know what this user's name is, Awos Aquada. I think that's how you say it.
He was on last live that we did.
Was he? Okay. Yeah. Well, he asked a question quite a long time ago, and he was the first person. So I will ask his question because he was the first one. And I see him in the audience. Should we bring him up? Let's have him ask the question. Awos, can you raise your hand, and we'll bring you up, and you can answer the question. Is it a he or she? Might be a she.
He.
Is it he? Okay.
Yes.
He's got a really sexy picture for his avatar. Does he not want to answer? Okay. I'll ask it for you. Do you recommend a player who is interested in the competitive scene but doesn't have a maxed account of higher THs? Example, I play a fresh TH11 and a max TH9 right now. Invest the time in it, and what Town Hall level do you recommend to stick to practice as a beginner player to pick up the most important fundamentals of 3-star strategies that can be carried through the upper THs?
Interesting. Town Hall 11, so that's quite a while away from Town Hall 14, because that's where the main competitions are, or esports level at least. But there's certainly a lot of mixed breakdown leagues that are still competitive, depending on your level of commitment, I guess. If mixed breakdown is your aim, then Tunnel 12, it's still very much part of the breakdowns. Even Tunnel 13, which are a lot closer to Tunnel 11 in terms of upgrade times. Therefore, in terms of esports, Tunnel 14 is, I think, where the game's at, and where Clash of Clans and Supercell really pushes the game. In terms of, I don't know if you should probably stay at a specific tunnel to practice, because every tunnel, there's a cut. Every tunnel teaches you a different strat that it's going to be useful at some point later on in the game. For example, I don't know, Tunnel 9, that's where you start really using hogs and witches for the first time. Tunnel 10 is where you explore probably the miners for the first time. Tunnel 11 is where, I guess, drags are the main force, and Pekka Smash attacks. But depending on the town hall, the meta changes. So that'd be my answer to that question. Depends on your level of commitment.
I guess I went about it the wrong way. I just did hogs the whole time.
Yeah, you can certainly do hogs at every town hall level.
I just didn't do anything else.
Have you been hogged by MSP?
What's that?
That's my question for Yayeto. Have you been hogged by MSP?
Oh, we were on a team together. I was wondering where his genocide trophy falls in with all of his other stuff.
Oh, genocide, that was quite a while ago. I remember that.
I know.
I think I still have. Do I still have the avatar that you guys made for that war? Probably still do somewhere.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good. That was a good war. I've been in a lot of teams with Miss B.
It's good times. It's kind of a rite of passage in the CFF to be hogged by Miss B. That's a thing.
Yes.
It is a thing.
I think I did. She did a lot of base testing with hogs on my bases, I think, a while ago. That was fun.
Oh, yeah. She's hogged.
You have been hogged by MSP.
Yes.
I think we all have been hogged by MSP.
I'm pretty sure she hogged. I'm pretty sure she hogged everyone.
I've hogged everyone, I'm sure.
it's always a good time.
Yeah. I have a shirt that says that. You've been hogged by MSP. Good Cup Head Cup made it for me.
It should be a new Twitter bio. get ready to get on.
Oh, GCBC made it for you?
Yeah, GCBC made it for me.
Nice, nice, nice.
I need one of those shirts.
I know, right? GCBC, get on that. I'm just kidding. Totally kidding. Okay. So Fado, I don't know. I'm going to get it wrong. I do love you, though. He asked another question. Can you describe when you feel the most pressured? Was it when you were a pro or even the time before that? And how have you or your team dealt with that pressure?
Pressure is a very interesting emotion during wars. During esport wars is a lot, I'd say, it's a lot higher than just normal competitive casual wars. But that's, I think that's where I felt the most pressure in some wars. But the more esport wars you do, the more used to it you get to the pressure. So sometimes you might just get into an attack when a wall is really important and you just feel really relaxed because you already know the feeling. You've been there before, you've done it before, so it's nothing new. But for some competitions, it can still come back. Like, for example, the qualifiers, it's not something that you do every day. It's a really high pressure situation. You have to deliver on the moment. But the pressure can still crawl back in and hunt you down for the wall. I think during esport wars, that's where I felt the most pressure. Before, it was not so much. I was probably pretty relaxed during them.
Nice. And you're doing base building now as well?
No, I absolutely suck at base building. That's the only thing that I cannot do in this game.
I'm sorry.
That's why we pay base builders to build bases for us.
Amen.
Join the club.
You know what
ever since Jupe semi-retired, I don't have any base builders left.
So. I know. He just left us in the lurch, man.
I think every base I built got binned pretty much immediately from the base builders. I saw it.
So you said that it gets easier with time. I think I agree with that. I remember back in the league days. I mean, there are times where you get more nervous. Example, like if you don't get a 3-star, we lose, or you know, this is the only hit left on this base and we have to increase the percent, or any of those types of situations where you're the linchpin, that still makes me nervous. But
yeah.
I think when I, you know, I remember the first season of AWL, I used to like freak out about getting in and going and doing my attacks. And then by the time we got like halfway through, I was like, yeah, this is not a big deal. And it used to crack me up how people would come in and be like, oh, I'm so nervous. And I'm like, just go. Have fun. It's okay. You've planned. You know what your plan is. Now just go. You know, and I still do that. I still, you know, we still plan in Noble at least the second attack. And, you know, it's that those gears that you grease and build on as you plan for other things like League, if you keep them loose, it's usually pretty easy to fall back in that rhythm.
Yeah, for sure. It's also the same when people feel under pressure when they see viewers come
people
up.
People watching,
people watching.
Or on stream. It's being streamed, so I'm not going to go for that.
Oh, that as well, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, can I ask my question then? Because that kind of leads into this a little bit.
Please.
Do you get more nervous attacking in CF events on stream with thousands of people watching, or when two viewers simultaneously appear during your Legends hits? And you know, it's GCBC and I.
I always wonder who are the two guys watching you attacking Legends.
You always know it's me because I DM you right after. I'm like, hey! That was me watching you!
I believe at this point you have an alarm set for every Legend hit I do.
I probably, right? What? How did you know?
The random people popping up when you're raiding, it still freaks me out. Like, I have a lot of friends in game, you know, so I never know who it is. Snoopy does it a lot. He oftentimes, if I'm on and then I go in and do an attack, he will go out and look, and I'll come back and be like, JJ, you missed something. I don't know, the blower or whatever. So that was you. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, that freaks me out because I'm never like, who is stalking me? What is happening? And for a while, it was happening like every day. I would be on there'd be this little one sitting there, and I'm like, and I finally DM Snoopy. I'm like, are you watching me tonight? And he was like, no. I was like, who is it?
It wasn't me because I'm sitting right next to her most of the time.
Yeah. I haven't yelled at my queen a lot lately because I'm not walking with her.
There hasn't been many.
Her only role is to clear the one side and die, and that's fine.
There hasn't
clear
been
clear the one side and die.
Yelling lately.
That makes my life so much less stressful.
You can get notifications for when your base is getting attacked, so I always think if somebody's watching my attacks, that, you know, it's usually the person I'm attacking. And that doesn't really bother me because I like to stay in the lower part of Legends where it's easy and you just get the loot and I don't have to worry about doing 8 attacks every single day because I just lots of times don't have time. But yeah, I 3-star so often. If I'm just sitting hovering around 5,000 trophies, it's just like no big deal, just going there and 3-star. So it doesn't really bother me when somebody watches because I'm like, haha, you're going to watch me crush your base. Neeners.
Yeah, same. I stay low legend as well for that reason.
So how much do you get to competitive play now that you're in the team manager role? Yeah.
It depends on the competition. If it's a really high level competition where our aim is to do really well and place in really low high spots in the league or to make it to playoffs, I normally don't put myself in the roster because there's much better players in the team than I am. So I just fully trust them to do the job. But then if there is any other sort of lower level competition where we still need to compete and get good results, I might put myself in the bench, in the roster. With the team manager role, it takes a lot more time away from the playing time.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I honestly think that when I was running League, that it was harder for me to play the game because it never goes away. It's always there.
Like, yeah.
It's constant, 24 hours a day. And I was only doing a little like CFF thing. I can't imagine what you're going through doing this level of organization.
And it's even harder when you have, I don't know, I guess like a job and studying outside of the game as well. It takes pretty much the entire playing time away from you.
Yeah, I can imagine. Miss P, do you have any more class-related questions?
No, I think Ben was he was raising his hand.
Oh, I was?
Yes, we saw you. I saw you raise your hand.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, so man. I'm supposed to ask, when is the last time that you had pineapple on pizza? Has it been the last day, the last week, the last month? Never. And then as a follow-up question, what is your opinion of cut-up spaghetti?
Ooh. Oh my god. Wow. Do people actually do that?
They actually sell that here in the States.
People actually do that, yes.
Oh my god.
It's mostly for children. I mean, most adults don't do it.
You need to teach them young. There's no shortcuts. Well, what can I say to both those questions? I think I've probably had pineapple on pizza once in my life, and that was by mistake, which shouldn't happen anyways.
Did you like it, though?
I didn't hate it, but I felt wrong. I can tell you that much.
I can honestly say I have never had pineapple.
You don't like pineapple.
I don't like pineapple, so there's that one right there.
Poor JJ.
Boom.
Oh,
keep on that. Keep it on that thread. Don't have pineapple on pizza.
I just got into watermelon for the first time in the last week and a half. Like this,
what?
This is big wow. news right now in my house.
This is big news.
When I met Brew, he didn't eat any fruit. Any at all. So now he eats apples, grapes, and watermelon. Nice. And it's taken me 16 years to get to 3.
That's a start.
Baby steps.
I have to admit that I do like Hawaiian pizza, like the ham and pineapple. It's probably in my top 10 for pizzas. So oh. I do like it.
Okay.
But
okay. It's not top one, though.
Somebody doesn't like it. I can get it. I get it.
Yeah.
But now let's go to the cut up spaghetti. What's your opinion on that?
Well, you should be, in theory, jailed for that. It's not allowed.
in Italy, yeah, probably.
Yeah. So same, in the States,
same for pineapple pizza as well.
Like my mom, when she taught me how to make spaghetti, you get the spaghetti in the box, and you pull it out of the box, and because it doesn't fit in the pot, you break it in half and you put it in the pot. I know. And I just learned that this is like a bad thing. I didn't know that it was a bad thing. I was living in my ignorant little American bubble that it's completely normal. And then, of course, Facebook has now educated me that you're not supposed to do that. And I'm like, well, so yeah. I have the wrong pot, right? Is that what you're telling me? I need a taller pot?
Yeah, I mean, so myself, like, because spaghettis are quite long.
Yes.
I don't have a pot base quite that deep to fit the whole length of the spaghetti. So whenever I make it, I dip it into the hot water once it's boiled. And I give it like probably 30 seconds, just enough for it to start bending. And you just bend the whole lot into the water. And then just leave it in there until it's done, pretty much.
Oh, never thought about that. I just thought I needed a different shaped pot.
Oh, well, yeah. You can buy a much bigger pot, I guess, if you can fit it in. Yeah.
I'm sure they make
take pot. 20 minutes to boil your water, but...
I don't care. That's okay.
If you want to make it quicker, you can just use a kettle. Just get the water getting boiled real quick and then add it onto the pot straight away.
Yep. I have an electric kettle. It's my favorite thing in my kitchen.
That's same here.
What you need to do is just take it out to and use Brew's brew burner.
My burner,
I
right?
I could use his 5-gallon pot and his brew burner,
there you go.
And it would definitely cook a lot of spaghetti.
Let's have a spaghetti party.
Yeah, you got to make sure that you get that good and clean. We don't want that spaghetti taint in the beer.
I was going to say, it might taste like hops, but it would be cooked.
Oh.
And I wouldn't have to break it.
It may taste better. Who knows? Well, you may be onto something.
I don't know
that
hops and tomato sauce go together.
No.
I guess it's not called tomato sauce either, right, Yeto? It's gravy. You call it gravy?
No.
What do you call tomato ragu? Something like that.
Yes. If you're in Italy, you call it ragu, yes. But I think ragu is more, it's the meat sauce, more specifically.
Okay.
When you have minced meat with the tomato sauce, that's what ragu is.
Okay.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just
the
tomato sauce.
We have in the States.
Yeah.
What's Prego? What's Prego? Do you like Prego or do you like ragu?
Ragu is definitely much better.
So I have made tomato sauce or ragu or whatever you call it from scratch before, and it does taste heads and tails better. But I don't have that kind of time all the time. I have found a very good brand that I like back when I was full on keto. It's called Rouse, and it's very low sugar. It's very, there's no chemicals in it or anything, and I really, really like it. It's my favorite. And my daughter, it's funny because she went to a friend's house, and we've used Rouse for 4 or 5 years now. So it's pretty much all she's had for a long time.
Yeah, for sure. From scratch is definitely miles better.
There we go. Her mom made something with ragu or something, and Grace came home and she's like, "Mom, it was like eating sugar on your spaghetti. It was weird." Because it was.
Oh my god! Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I know you're going to school for aerospace engineering, correct?
Yes.
Which means you're way smarter than anyone else on this call. I definitely couldn't do something like that.
Hell no.
So tell us more, like, what's the goal? What brought you to that? And can you use any of that in your class life? I'm really curious.
What got me into aerospace engineering is my passion for commercial aviation. So I guess we could say planes at the airports and those sorts of stuff. So normally when I travel, or when I do go to the airport, I normally go like hours before my plane ride, because I just spend probably the majority of time with my face stuck on the window watching every single plane moving.
We should have taken you out of the National. We went to the National Air Force National Air Force Museum.
Right.
A couple weeks ago in the United States.
Yeah.
And it went from the Wright brothers, like there was a reproduction plane, all the way up until now with like rockets and things like
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm.
It was five airplane hangars full of airplanes, like hanging in the air on the ground. It was crazy.
Cold War, World War One, World War Two. It ran the gamut.
It was cool. I enjoyed it. But sorry, I interrupted you. You should check it out, though.
Nice.
In Ohio. Great place to go.
And definitely it's on my list. Yeah. All of them are interesting. So that's why got me into it. I do love space stuff as well, but it's definitely not my kind of main interest. We do some models and classes at the university regarding space stuff and satellites and all of that good stuff, I guess. I think my main interest is the normal planes within the sky limits, let's say. That's my interest at the moment. Yeah.
Awesome.
That was the question.
I think so. What's your goal? Do you know what you ultimately want to do as a career once you're done?
I mean, if I get to work at any airport, I guess that would be me living my childhood dream. So I get to spend time with the planes. That sounds weird. but I mean, engineering itself is quite interesting as well. The problem solving aspect of it and the finding the solution to a problem, it's what also interests me as well. So there's different fields that I can get into. That's the good thing of getting an aerospace degree, is that you can get into a lot of different engineering fields that are not necessarily aerospace related. Like I could get into cars if I wanted, for example, with that degree. And then there was a powerful question. He said, if there's any of it that translates into Clash. Some of it, I'd say, will help me from the degree is the organization side of it was really helpful into the team manager role, because you do have to be organized and kind of keep track of a lot of stuff happening at once. Talking to, I don't know, about 20,000 people all at once sliding in your DMs, and you kind of need to manage all of them. So I guess that's what helped with the organization. That was pretty useful.
Awesome. Okay, so...
I have one follow-up question to that.
Please?
So do you feel like there will ever be a time in our lifetime where we will start flying to space, starting horizontally like a commercial aircraft, or do you think we will always go to space shooting vertically every time?
Well, I don't know how long. I mean, there's already some planes that that fly horizontally. I think some of the fighter jets in the U.S. military already do that.
I mean, like shooting to go out to space into orbit.
Yeah. I don't think that they have that technology yet. I'd be probably a while for that. Really a while. The rockets are useful because they can carry a lot of fuel at the start, so that's what gives them the force to get off the ground and then start propelling upwards. I doubt that we're going to get, horizontal propulsion anytime soon to go into space. It'll be pretty hard. Okay. Anytime soon, at least. I don't know. You're always going to have technology moving fast, so you never know.
Yeah, because I'd love to go to space. Never, I mean, I'll never go to space. I know that, but I would love to. But I don't know how I would feel about, you know, staring straight up, knowing all that fuel is behind me that's going to just shoot my ass way up into space. That would scare the heck out of me.
Yeah.
Well, or if I could take off like a normal airplane, I mean, I'd maybe be okay with it.
Yeah. Well,
because isn't the fuel underneath you still in a normal airplane? Or is it not?
Well, there's not as much, but yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's just, it's, I don't know. There's just something about being shot straight up versus, you know, the gradual incline and then up.
Technically, it's not under you when you fly on a normal plane. It's,
no?
It's in the wings.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah, it's on purpose to give it the, to keep it balanced while it's flying. Otherwise, you'd be seeing planes doing U-turns left and right every second.
Oh, Lord, help me. I hate flying.
Yeah. Figured, explain that. They put the fuel at where the motors' engines are.
Yeah, that's where the fuel goes on there. It's all in the wings.
Well, it's efficient. It's right next to it.
So. I guess, yeah.
I don't know. Okay, so I want to transition back. I apologize, I missed a few questions from the fans for Clash, so let's transition back really quick. And you did talk about, like, transitioning or translating your organization skills that you're learning through your education and your passion into Clash as a team manager. So Shen, or Shenanigans from Noble, asked if you find that you spend more time in-game now than you when you were playing casually, or is it the similar amount of time, just more focused and higher quality? So when you do get to play,
yeah.
Do you feel like it's a different kind of play than before when you were, and let's say in the casual, more casual leagues and not in the esports comparatively?
Yeah. So if you do decide to go down the route of Clash esports, you will have to spend undoubtedly spend more time playing Clash, just because of all of the moving parts involved into the esports world, with the management and the testing and playing the all the wars. I guess it depends at what level you're at in the competitive. So if you're all the way at the highest level of esports, then yeah, you'd definitely be playing a lot more than just playing casually. It definitely does increase. If you stay in just normal casual competitive, not so much, you can still deal with it just as fine.
Okay. And Magnus had a question. I see him in the audience. Magnus, if you'd like to ask it live, if you want to raise your hand, I'd be happy to pull you up, or I can ask it for you. Oh, can't right now, sorry. Yeah. Okay, all right, so 99% aside, what is your favorite town hall level to play, and why?
Yeah, I love my 99s. I have a lovely story with that.
Feel free to share any stories.
Well, it's sort of a love-hate relationship with me and the 99%. Yeah, I can't get the curse off me to save my life.
That 99% one star? Or...
Oh, that'd be the worst. Those are the worst. They're two stars, I hope, yeah.
They're all 2 stars. I haven't had a 99 one star in quite a while. They're pretty hard to achieve. I might try it for it next time in Legends. I might absolutely try it.
We'll make it a next event.
They're pretty tough to achieve. But yeah, my favorite town hall, I think it's, I'll say it's town hall 10. I have quite a lot of fun playing town hall 10, no siege. I play with Clash United right now. It's easily one of the best town hall 10 teams. Hopefully I didn't jinx them. But yeah, I think that's my favorite town hall.
Awesome. I didn't mind town hall 10. Until we started doing 10v11s and 10v12s back in the AWL days, and then I was rocking in the corner because BTG and And Sids would have me on voice till 1:30 counting tiles.
Oh my god.
And
she'd be like, just tell me what to do.
That was
tell me what am I doing?
Plan, the plan like 8 times
I
in an hour. And
that.
I was just finally like, either tell me what to do or I'm not hitting right now. Like I can't. I'm so tired.
Yeah. That was pre-Siege. So
that was pre-Siege, yeah. Yeah, that was back then like
different story back then. Tunnel 10 was really tough to 3-star.
It was brutal. Yeah. It was brutal. And I was like, yeah, I'll take one for the team. I'll go up. And I was like, why did I do this? This is not a good idea. So
That actually does remind me. I didn't think relating to a question that someone asked before, if I ever felt pressure playing just the competitive or esports. Mm-hmm. It reminds me when I was at Tunnel 10 and we had to do hit ups.
Yep.
Or Tunnel 12, yeah. I was sitting there panicking more planning those 2-star attacks than planning a 3-star attack on another Tunnel 10. Because, they were pretty vital, because otherwise if you didn't get a 2-star, you'd have to let your teammate do the 12v12 or it was 11v11. Yeah, so they're pretty crucial. So there's a lot of it was a high pressure situation. I'd say that's probably one of the few times I actually felt pressure.
Yeah, I would agree. I think Miss P and I were the tag team for a little bit at that point in time.
Oh yeah, learning how to hit up.
Yeah, and it was like, do you remember the attack, Miss P? It was like Jez's attack with all the baby drags and the queen walk and the Valks into the CC or into the town hall.
The Jezza method.
Honestly, like nightmares. I still have nightmares about that. I it's traumatic. Okay, so one more from Tony. He says, hi, bud. Has COVID-19 affected your Clash life? And I'll add a little bit because you know Tony's a man of so many words. And how?
shout out to Tony. Did COVID affect my Clash life? Not really. Generally because luckily for us, Clash is all online.
Yeah.
And nothing happened really outside of Clash apart from the events that got cancelled, I guess, like the World Championship and the potential meetups that probably were planned to happen and never happened because of COVID. I don't think it didn't affect my Clash life, I'd say. It's all the same.
Okay.
What a terrible question, Tony. Come on, man. Come on. Love you, Tony.
You know. Yep. Love him too. All right, so I'm gonna ask some classic non-class NWC kind of speed questions.
Ooh.
Yeah, let's see.
M2C, by the way, M2C.
Oh, M2C. Holy cow. Yeah, it's Sunday. Okay, toilet paper rolls, dispense from the top or the bottom? Over or under?
Well, I need to think about this.
There's a one right answer.
I can't remember how I put them in my bathroom. I normally do from the top.
Good. Right answer.
Is that the right answer?
That is the right answer.
Yep.
That is the right answer. Okay, next
question.
Would
be like pineapple on pizza.
Yes. Agreed. Or cutting spaghetti. Bad thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Next one is socks in bed or no?
Ah. No socks in bed. I am very much a sock person in bed.
Oh, no.
You gotta let your feet breathe.
The only time I don't do it is when it's like 30 degrees hot and I can't sleep. So yeah.
All right.
That's the only time I don't put socks in.
Research does show that if you wear socks in bed, you get better sleep.
Maybe. Is that the case? Well, then.
I wore socks in bed maybe 5 times and I'm 47, 48 years old.
Wow.
What are you, 47 or 48, Drew?
I'll be 48.
He'll be 48. I will be 48 in like a couple months. Yeah, in a couple months.
I mean, but age didn't have to be something you estimate, dude. Just saying.
Oh, BPG. We'll have to be so exact.
All right, the next one is peanut butter, crunchy or creamy?
Never thought about this question. I don't think I have a preference. Is that like another question where I'm like right or wrong?
Oh,
no, I think this one's pretty wide open.
I like both. Depends on my mood, I guess. I like both.
Yeah, we don't. That's not one that anybody's super passionate about. So you're in the safe zone there. That's okay.
Nice.
It's good. Okay, did I miss any guys? I don't think I did.
No, we didn't miss any questions.
Okay, good.
What's your favorite type of beer?
He said he doesn't imbibe too much, so I guess if you do drink, Yayeto, what do you drink?
I am more of a fruit juice type of guy. That's probably be my drinking on a daily basis.
What kind of juice?
Fruit juice. Sort of like fruit juice. Be orange juice, mango. Yeah.
With what in it?
I thought you said prune juice. I'm like, wow, you must have a healthy colon. With prune juice.
Oh boy.
I'd like to think I do, but you never know.
I mean, you are in Italy. You don't have, like, a wine that you like?
Yeah. He's not in Italy. He's in the UK. Yeah.
Yeah, but still, the wine and the stuff, never tried it.
Really okay.
Indulgent.
Fair. Okay.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm definitely the odd one out. Definitely, for sure.
You know what? It's a good thing, yeah. I mean, I don't drink as much as others, but, you know, it's definitely, it's good for your body, too. You're not supposed to, it doesn't do great things for it, so. All right,
drink that much unless Miss P is around, because she's a bad influence.
She is definitely a bad influence.
The bad influence!
Baileys and coffee.
At 10 o'clock in the morning is the best.
Oh, that's the next question.
Unless you start in the morning.
I got my Baileys for when I come to see you already.
I'm sure you did. All right, Yayeto, coffee or tea?
Tea. Yes. But
wrong answer.
Not the English tea.
Not English tea? Really? Okay. Share. What kind of tea do you? I am a huge tea drinker.
If I had to choose my top spot, if I had to put a tea in the top spot, it would be the Moroccan tea. Mint Moroccan tea.
Like Lipton and Tetley, that kind of tea?
No, the more traditional Moroccan tea, I'd say.
Are you saying Moroccan? I thought you were saying American. What? We're not known for tea. But okay.
Yeah, that's my top favorite, yeah.
Moroccan tea. Is it flavored?
It's a mint. It's a special type of mint tea.
If you like your mint, then you'll like your tea. Slide into my DMs and send me info on that. So full disclosure, I don't know if our Yorkshire tea here in these states is the same as what you get in the UK, but someone on Discord a little while ago said, if you don't answer Yorkshire tea, then your answer is wrong. And someone was asking about tea. So I went out, and our Wegmans here has a section for each country. They have an international aisle.
Yep.
And you can find products there. And I like PG Tips, and I like Taifu. They had Yorkshire tea, so I was like, okay, let me get it if everybody says it's good. To me, it's a little weak, but I like my tea super, dark black tea. Very strong.
I never had Yorkshire tea. myself. No? So I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know if it's the same. And I'm sure someone, whoever said it, it was, I think it might have been Eggy. I'm not 100% sure. But whoever said it is probably going to come back at me. But I'm not a big, I mean, it's okay. It's not like, I think if I had had it 2 years ago, I would have loved it.
Yeah, right, right.
But because I've gone to like loose leaf tea, I've gotten a little snobbish. I've gone to loose leaf tea in like a steeper little thing, you know, like, so it's, and I like this Margaret's Second Rush Darjeeling. It's a Darjeeling tea. And I love it. So I buy it from a local place called Mrs. Robinson's.
Do you drink it with your pinky out too?
Huh?
Do you drink it with your pinky out too?
Yes. Every single day.
The pinky's out. I can, you know.
Brew, on the other hand, is a coffee drinker, and I broke our coffee pot.
Oh, no.
Luckily, we go to his sister's house, and his sister doesn't drink coffee at all. No one in our house, so she doesn't even have a coffee pot.
You wouldn't like that, Jen.
No, it wasn't good. And we didn't have our camper. So what I decided to do was try and find a travel French press so that we could just bring, a cup with us with some coffee, and I could make coffee in the French press with the water that I use for my tea, because she has a teapot. So he now has a travel French press. So every day I make him travel French press coffee.
It's so good.
In his travel mug.
Jet, Miss P, you would, it's so good.
It is good.
With Bailey's.
With Bailey's. Miss P gets percolator coffee when she comes to the camper in a couple weeks.
With Bailey's. No.
With Bailey's. Yeah. All right, I'm going to open...
Just for the tea story again, the only other tea type of teas that I had was the Lipton tea that you mentioned earlier. But that was back in my Italy days. And then in the UK, the only tea that I really tried was the PG Tips. With the milk in it, because you know, British people like to put milk in their tea for some reason.
Yeah, I'm not a milk in the tea thing. I do half and half.
Same. I'm not really the biggest fan. That's why I prefer my traditional Moroccan mint tea, which is much better.
Right, but I will tell you, if I have mint tea, I do not put cream in my tea.
I know, absolutely. That's a crime. You shouldn't.
Yeah, that doesn't work. Flavored tea typically doesn't lend itself to having, milk or cream in it. It's not a good thing.
I also don't put as much sugar in my tea. I don't know. I see some people putting quite a bit of sugar, depending on the taste buds. But I normally don't put that much, if hardly anything, really, on my tea.
So I used to be a 3 teaspoons of sugar in a cup of tea person years ago. And I'm down to a half or a quarter, probably, a teaspoon of stevia, and that's it. It's not a lot at all. I'm trying to wean myself off of it completely. And actually, I ran out of stevia today. So I guess I'm doing tea without it until I go to the food store. So maybe I can wean myself off it completely. And that would be
I mean, you guys should just do coffee then. I mean, because if you're, it's bitter. So if you don't like sugar in your tea. I mean, because to me, drinking tea without any sugar or anything is too sweet for me. So,
really?
I don't know. Yeah.
Black tea is sweet for you?
Yeah, any tea just seems like it's kind of sweet.
Right, but are you using Tetley or Lipton, that kind of tea?
I think Bigelow is what I usually get if I ever get tea.
That's okay. What? That's not dark, though. That's not dark tea. That's got
it's Earl Grey.
Oh, well, Earl Grey has flavor in it. So that's why it tastes weird to you.
Yeah, I never thought tea would be sweet without adding sugar.
So BTG drinks his coffee completely black, nothing in it.
Oh, no sugar as well?
Yes, tea would probably taste sweeter to him because I think tea leaves are sweeter than coffee grounds.
I guess so.
Whatever. Do you do cappuccinos, Yuyeto?
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, cappuccinos is okay.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So are you just not a caffeine guy in general then? Or do you like drink tea every day? Or like I can't go a day without coffee.
And my daily drink would be tea, but I'm pretty flexible, so I don't have to annoy everyone or anyone. So I can drink coffee as well.
There you go.
So yeah.
Nice.
You're not annoying like
DJ. I definitely.
There's an English breakfast tea shortage in the United States right now, let me tell you.
Yep.
I haven't been able to get my tea latte from Starbucks for like a month.
A month, yep.
And I'm not happy about this. This is not okay. So
it's
your sign.
Switch to the dark side.
Right now, Starbucks, I'm calling you out. Like, you need to get your stuff together. Whatever the problem is.
SoCal, please.
Join the dark side.
So just go to the store and pick up the tea. I'm totally annoyed.
If I do drink coffee, it's definitely with milk. If I do without milk, I need to add some sugar in it. I can't do what BGG does.
So that's why you like the cappuccinos, because they put, I think they put heavy cream in, right?
Yeah, or I think my go-to is the latte. That's my go-to coffee.
A latte?
A latte, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
There's nothing better than just that first sip of black coffee early in the morning to wake you up.
No.
Yeah, you're on an island here, BTG. You don't win this argument. You're outvoted.
So
like
I have
brother.
A
you're out.
Useless information that would.
Oh, go.
I can do that right now.
Transition, Brew.
I want to see if anybody wants to ask questions in the audience, but we can take
where is that? Hold on.
Brew's very excited about this, evidently.
Oh, all right.
It was apples. Here it is. Found it. Apples, not caffeine, are more efficient for waking up in the morning.
There you go.
I still couldn't live without my coffee.
Boom, right there. Boom.
Yeah, neither could I. Agreed.
I'm just reading it from the book.
I believe you, Brew. I'm not disputing the information. I'm just saying. I like my coffee too much.
Yeah, so do I.
This is true.
Yes.
He does like his coffee.
All right.
Okay, do we want to try for live questions?
Yes.
We need to insert Jeopardy music here.
I see Ink. Ink's got a question.
I know.
Come on, Ink.
I do see Ink. No one has questions? Uh-oh.
Good cop, bad cop. Come on, you have a question.
He typed his questions. He had a lot of questions.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone has questions.
I see you.
A lot of them asked them, like they just typed them out.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah. Which is
appreciate
great.
It, guys.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you for all the questions. It was awesome. Okay. So let's see. Useless information. Yuyeto, did you bring something?
No.
Okay.
We can give
him
a chance. We'll give you a chance to look something up if you like.
Yep. I will go first. All right. Are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The $8 bill was designed and printed by Benjamin Franklin for the American colony. So there was an $8 bill at some point in time.
$8 bill. I want to see it.
Me too. And I'm gonna grab one more because it circles back to Yuyeto's favorite tea. Morocco was the first country to recognize the United States as a country in
1789. Oh.
Boom. Oh, dropping knowledge.
That is.
All right, BTG.
Okay, well, I have a story about Benjamin Franklin.
Oh.
Because my real name is Ben.
Yes.
A lot of people know.
Yep.
Benjamin. I have an older brother named Abe, and his middle name is Lincoln, so everybody thinks my name is Franklin, because it's like, oh, you're named after U.S. presidents, and to which I have to remind them that Ben Franklin was never a president. But I actually have one that ties back to Yayato as well, and this could be a future career path for him as well, but the Super Soaker... And I don't know if you have them where you're at, but they're basically like souped up water guns. Was developed by a NASA engineer. So aerospace engineer developed the Super Soakers. So you can design the next high powered water gun, Yayato. That should be your new career goal.
I'll do that as my last year project.
There you go.
Send it to my supervisors.
We were watching a show today about inventions that changed the world.
Yep.
And the topic of the one we watched today was Gillette, Henry Gillette, or King Gillette. King Gillette.
Yep.
That created the disposable razor.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. Oh. Gillette, right? And the reason that he created it was because his mentor, who created something, I forget what he created, told him, stop looking for things to create and invent that people can reuse. You want disposable. So that they come back and buy more.
Yep.
Because he created something that people could use forever, and he wasn't making a lot of money. And that's how you got your disposable razors.
Well, the people were cutting themselves.
Yes. Well, he cut himself, and then he's like, what if I could make this so it doesn't cut? Because it gets dull. It was interesting.
The razors are just terrible invention.
Well, what else are you going to use? You're just going to live with a beard? Oh, well, that's what you do.
Well, you know
we're
me.
Talking with.
Yeah. Yayato, do you have facial hair, or you shave every day?
I do have some facial hair. All right, I guess it's the average. Nothing too extreme, nothing too short. Like, yeah, I'd say average.
Okay.
This is why we need cameras.
I know.
Yeah.
Someday. Discord will get it. They'll get it someday. All right, Miss P, do you have yours?
Oh, yes. My useless information is about my favorite pulchritudinous animal.
Oh.
The earliest mention of this mythical creature, the unicorn, dates back as far as 2700 BC in Asia and was described as a creature of great power and wisdom. And the national anthem of Scotland is the unicorn.
Hmm.
The national anthem?
The national animal. Sorry.
Oh. I was like, what?
Holy cow. I know I've had like 3 beers, Ms. P, but come on, don't do that to me.
I was seriously thinking if Scotland was betraying the Queen with the anthem.
I don't know if you ever listened to our show before, and it's okay if you say you haven't, but we learned about the word pulchritudinous. When the release notes came out for the most recent TH-14 release, in true, evidently, what is it called? BTG, come on, you're the grammar guy. What is it called when they use the same letter, like, in the beginning of a word for, like, a whole sentence?
Alliteration? Is that alliteration?
Yep, alliteration.
Yeah, I told you we're the smartest one here. Okay, so... they use alliterations a lot in their release notes, their full patch notes, if you ever read them.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, and for the unicorn, when I was drinking vodka, trying to read these patch notes, it was quite a challenge. And they described the unicorn as pulchritudinous, which I butchered at the time.
Oh my god, it was so funny.
And then it became like, what does that mean? You know, all that kind of stuff. So, what do you know what pulchritudinous means?
No, that's never heard of that.
Not the smartest person here.
We only know because I butchered the word. Come on. So you could use it as a pickup line for someone that you're attracted to because it means beautiful. So,
what?
Right? So
I'm gonna write that straight away.
Why did you just use the word beautiful? Like, what? Because it started with a P and they were trying to do an alliteration with P's. So yeah. That's why Miss P talked about her pulchritudinous.
I'm gonna use that on my next date to see what reaction I get.
Yep, there you go. Especially if you find an English major, you might get extra points.
Yeah, good shots, yeah.
So, did you find a useless fact? You don't have to.
Yeah, I did.
But okay, good.
Quite useless when I read it. I hope he hasn't been said before in any of these podcasts. Let's see. So it's possible to lead a cow upstairs, but not downstairs.
It's possible to what?
To lead a cow upstairs.
Lead a cow upstairs.
But you can't lead a cow downstairs.
Oh. This goes with the whole turtle on the fence post thing, right?
Yep.
And the crazy thing is it's completely, it's not useless information because I know this to be true.
See, there
you
go.
Oh, wow.
He works a farm.
Grew up on a farm, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
I just remember, so I went to school at a grant university, we'll just put it that way. So, you know, there's a lot of agriculture and things like that. And there was a hall where all the cowboys stayed, and I'd visit it quite often. I never lived there, but I remember they had a calf up on the fourth floor, and we got it up the stairs, but we could not push it down the stairs. It would not go down the steps. But yeah, we had calf roping contests in the down the hallway of one of our residence halls.
Oh my goodness.
When I was in college.
Oh, wow.
So
a whole another world from your university experience, you know.
Yeah.
How'd that calf get back down to the first floor? Did they?
Oh, they're not very big. Elevator? We carried it down. No, there's no elevator either. We carried it down.
Oh, wow.
Like, really? Like, had a rope around it, put it out the window, and dropped it down. Like, not dropped it, but, like, lowered it.
No, we got it down. We're,
so how do they get them in trucks? I guess you have to use a ramp. They'll go down a ramp?
They'll go down a ramp.
They won't go downstairs, though?
No, not steps.
What about
usually,
a horse?
Usually they're not going down ramps anyways. I mean, they're usually going up.
Well, when you get them in the trailer, they have to come out of the trailer. I would assume they have to come down the ramp, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Just push them off the trailer.
They don't have problems with ramps. They will not go down steps.
That's weird. I wonder why. Is it like a depth perception thing? That's interesting.
Could very well be.
Oh, that's something to ponder on for the rest of the evening.
Right.
I'm gonna Google why cows.
I'm sure there is YouTube.
Oh,
like,
my God! Yeah,
you could go down on this as far as like finding people trying to get cows to go downstairs.
Now will a horse go down steps? PTG.
You know, I've never tried it with a horse.
Mm. Well, they're a little heavier than a calf.
But horses are smaller than usually. Well, I mean, depending on the horse and the cow or beef. I mean, yeah. I mean, horses typically don't get as big as cattle do, but that's a whole other story. But I don't. No, I don't think they would go down steps either.
Hmm. Interesting.
Okay.
I had a dog who wouldn't go upstairs. But I think that was just a fear. It wasn't necessarily she was a border collie. And I think she thought her border was downstairs. So if you took her upstairs, she used to shake. It wasn't okay with her. Yeah. She was a great dog. We used to take her camping and you could walk her around our site like 4 times and she'd never leave the site. She just, that was her border. Okay. This is my space. It's kind of like Dirty Dancing, right? This is my dance space. That's your dance space. I won't go out.
We had neighbors who raised sheep, and they had border collies, and you could leave every fence open on their entire place, and the sheep would never get out.
We didn't even have a fence at our house. She never left our yard. We didn't have fence. It was crazy.
A well-trained border collie is just amazing to watch them work. It's amazing. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. She used to like to keep the squirrels in the yard. She would you could watch her. She would try and herd them in. And the squirrels were like, "What the heck are you doing, man?" They'd go up the tree and out the yard. And then she'd bark at them because they left. And it was, yeah. That was the only
quarter
time she ever barked.
Quarter horses do the same thing with cattle. Like quarter horses, if they're a good working quarter horse, they'll herd cattle on their own. It's fun. Ah. It's fun to watch them do that.
So they're like the border collies of
horses.
Cattle.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like something instinctual in them that's just bred into them, or they're just trained to herd up the cattle. I don't know. It's pretty fun to watch them work.
It's interesting. Huh? You have another useless information?
Yep, I do.
There?
I do as well.
Ketchup is excellent for cleaning brass, especially tarnished or corroded brass.
Ketchup.
Wait,
I don't know. You might call it catsup. I don't know.
Boom! I just rocked everybody's world.
What do they call it?
My grandma called it catsup.
Yeah, catsup? Some people call it catsup.
Wow.
S-U-P.
That's weird way of saying it.
Well, you know, he lives in another country. We tell him that all the time.
My grandma I call it ketchup. My grandma called it catsup. And there is difference between ketchup and catsup, though.
Is there?
I don't know what it is, but there is a difference.
Okay. My dad used to call wrestling wrestling.
Wrestling, yep.
And he said,
I call it wrestling, too.
And he said warsh with an R.
W-A-R-S-H. My dad always did that, too. Like, I'll go wash the car before we go to church.
Wash. Yes. Nope. Wash. We're going to wash the car before we go wrestling, you know. My dad. Yeah, you said you have another one?
Yeah, I have one more useless fact.
He loves this thing.
But, it relates to the coffee lovers, I guess.
Okay.
Sorry, I don't know if you already heard this. Hopefully not. So if you yelled for 8 years, 7 months, and 6 days, you would have produced enough energy, sound energy, to heat up one cup of coffee.
Oh my god.
If you yell?
Yeah, for 8 years, 7 months, and 6 days.
Wow.
Okay.
That's a really long time.
Oh,
wow. So if someone makes you mad, you can use the yelling to be used.
Just hold up your cup of coffee, keep doing it. I want it warmed up.
Keep yelling.
It's kind of cold.
Efficiency is key. Don't waste any energy.
True.
The girls did a lot of that this weekend. They were yelling at each other a lot. So now I know what to do with that. Holy cow.
All right, so we should switch to shout outs. So Beat Brew,
yep.
Let you go first.
So wait, there's a CFF podcast fan.
Oh.
Is that GG? It looks like he's got a talking thing behind it. Is that just an emoji, or is he actually raising his hand wanting to talk?
No, I don't think he's raising his hand wanting to talk.
Okay.
That would show a little green hand.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless, Cronus, do you have a question? He's a hero, Cronus.
Where do you see Cronus?
His name in here is CFF Podcast Fan. He's in the audience.
It must just be an emoji. I'm sorry.
It is. That's okay.
Oh, right there. Okay.
All right, Brew, shout-outs.
Shout-outs? All right. I'm going to shout out Yeto.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
That's Brew's job, Yeto.
That's my job.
Yeah.
He shouts out the guest.
I shout out our guest. Yep.
Oh.
Thank you for coming on and, you know, being an awesome guest. Yes.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun. First mm-hmm. time for me doing a podcast, so hopefully it went well.
Oh, very nice.
Went great.
Yes. I also going to shout out Future and Tony because they're awesome. And my usual shout out, my queen.
Thank
I always
you.
Shout out my queen.
Poor chap, liver must be.
I know.
No. Oh. Well, you there's no video, so he can't see you raising your hands.
Or yeah. Yep. Don't even. Don't. I don't want to be shouted out now.
No.
All right. Yeto, I'm going to let you go next since you're the guest.
My time to shout out?
Someone? Yeah.
You
have anybody you want to shout out?
Yeah. I shout out Miss P.
Aww. Oh, Jen. Thank you.
Yeah. That's my shout out for today.
Nice. Okay. You are the only one, Miss P. Well done. All right, I'm going to go next real quick. So I would like to shout out, first of all, GCBC for all the amazing work that he did prepping up to this show. This was his baby, and he did a great job, and super excited to come on for the ride and look like we did a lot of work, but we really didn't. So thank you, GCBC. We appreciate you. And thank you for the job you'll do after this to edit it so it can get published, because we know that's always the hardest part of this show. And then my next shout out is going to be to the heroes. I'm just going to say the ultimate heroes, leave it blank. We've really had a good time. So Snoopy, BTG, Future, and El Socio. I'm missing someone. Jeremy. So it's been a lot of fun. I'm glad that it's kept pretty super chill, even though Snoopy, I think, broke his iPad the last war. So
He did.
He sent a picture. So hopefully his wife lets him to continue to play class now that he has to buy a new iPad. And happy anniversary to Snoopy and Mrs. Snoopy. They are celebrating their 20th wedding anniversary next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So happy anniversary to them.
Big max then.
Yeah. BTG.
First shout out is going to go to Jill G for never filling out his troop request. So he's been getting wall breakers from me lately because I feel like they're the most useless troop that I can put in a CC. And every time I see it, I'm going to continue to do that until he finally says what he wants.
I have been doing that, and you haven't been on, so I'm not going to do
that. And I'm not shouting out for not doing that, so that's your way to get it. And I'm going to shout out Brew for finally using the troop request function in Clash of Clans. I'm going to find somebody to shout out for the real thing, but thanks, Brew. I'm going to shout you out for that. That's it.
Thanks,
I'm done.
Thanks, BTG. Thanks.
Okay. Misty.
I'm going to start out by shouting out our guest. Thank you for coming on for the live show. This was a pretty special treat to be able to get to talk to someone like you. I want to ditto Beth with the GCBC thing. Thank you for all the stuff you do behind the scenes. And then I went on a little Clash tour about a month ago. So we called it the Pigs Tour. It was me, Ink, GCBC, and Peter. So we went to a few different clans. So I'm just going to shout out Dark Sector. PZ, we went to Phoenix Reloaded for their birthday war. Then we went to C2J, and we got to go visit the Mudgruian Army. And then I kind of ended in Tip Dog's clan, Sons of Guns. So shout out to all of you guys for letting us come in and spend a little bit of time with you guys and warring with you and seeing your Clash clan dynamic. It was a lot of fun. I like to do stuff like that. And then I took a Clash break for about a month.
Hmm. You did.
I did.
I feel like you're always on a tour, though.
You're never home.
You're never
home.
We're not going to go down the rabbit hole. Let's stay away from the rabbit hole.
I'm done with my tour. I'm going to be home for a while now.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
You heard it here, folks. So when she leaves next, I'm just gonna have that queued up. Just gonna have that queued up. I'm gonna be home for a while, and when you leave again,
she'll be back for 3 days, and then she'll be like, say, "Be right back."
I'm in NH2 right now. I've been there for like
3-4 weeks.
You have. I will admit that. I'm
Thank
there.
You.
You're there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tony saw me there.
Mm-hmm. So, Mikado, I don't know if there's. I should have asked this at the beginning. Is there a Twitter or anything you want to share for Rest that, you know, the fans could check out information or?
Yeah. So we have the team's Twitter, which is at esportsrest. It's pretty simple. And then, yeah, I guess there's my Twitter if you want to see my shenanigans. Sometimes I post my 99% if you fancy seeing some of them.
It's, just become friends with them and you can watch them live.
Yeah, to underscore CSC for that if you fancy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll grab those. I think I have them, but I'll just validate them with you so we can put them in the show notes when we publish the pod. So, good. Awesome. All right.
Can I also add to honorable mentions for the shout outs?
Yeah.
Just a minute now. The first one is GCBC for making all of this happen, I guess. He's the one that really was doing the work behind the scene,
making
every part. And then the other mention is Magnus for being a top level student in the Townsville Academy. He taught him a lot of stuff and he's really putting through the results.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
I know.
Good to hear.
He's been on this whole time.
Passing on the skills. That's good.
If anyone wants to join my Townsville Academy and know how to Townsville with styles, and I mean, I'll teach you everything there is to know.
That's awesome. Good information.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is our show today. On behalf of Miss P, BTG, and Brew, special thanks to Yeyeto for joining us. Thanks again. This is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Went way better than I thought it would. I really thought I would be completely lost and not have anything to talk about, so it was good. I'm glad that you came on. I learned a lot, and we'll be cheering for you guys as you go through this journey, so I'll definitely turn on some alerts so I can pay attention and cheer for your team. I'm excited to see what you guys do next.
Yep. Thanks for having me. It was a lot of pleasure. Yeah, cheers, guys.
For sure. This is JJ, and we hope you enjoy our show. Stay fancy, my friends, and enjoy some shirtless hugs.
Bye. Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.